ね、なんか、心配してて、これ、しゅうてるわ、だんてね、あの、次心配して、ね、徹底的に、ちゃんと心配。お前でしょ、ね、え、かむすん、こういうき、こうあれ心配して、ね、だってね、心配して、ね、ちげ、心配、ちゃんぼちょぱちめてんし、あ、心配。お前でしょ、で、しだんちゃうこれです。お前でしょ、で、さん、だってね、なんか、さんと、 あ、こういう形で、シンビケ、シンバテ、タンチャヤ、ネリア、アニニニボカルコムコレセネ、テンジュギミリリンボチェ、アニ、ゲチェム、ドゥンチャワダン、アニ、ジーラワコミアダン、アニ、ンチワメタボコミア、アンディネキ、チココ、ティシュチェ、アニ、アンジュギ、ドゥンアルバ、ナスメドゥンアリア、アンタルギスタンバキア、オドシネ、エンディサムダイティシュチェ。
他的那尼巴的，安尼啊，这个，他们从国外来些呢，安尼那个时候，先把的地多呀，得了，搞了公布来了，那，然后就给，可以给，缺了呀，安尼东方一个啥，啊，卷大些的了，安尼卷大或者可以给缺了呀，安尼卷大些的了，他就给三百几块钱，是，工资三百多块钱，我可是因为这第一个学姐，安尼，听那的，可以给卷同事得了，安尼，这个是第一个学姐，年纪。
Good evening. So we're looking at this text, parting from the four clingings. And so we remember these from the third verse. If you cling to this life, you are not a practitioner. If you cling to the three realms, that is not renunciation. If you cling to self-interest, you are not a bodhisattva. If grasping arises, it is not the view. So these are the four that we need to be separated from. These are the four clingings that we need to be separated from. So the first one we've looked at in some detail. If you cling to this life, you're not a practitioner. And we spoke there that about the antidotes to clinging to this life, to reflect on the eight worldly concerns, to reflect on the preciousness of this human rebirth we've attained, thinking of its great meaning, that the great purpose that can be achieved with this life that we have all attained, as well as thinking about its rarity. And so the third meditation we looked at was to reflect on the impermanence of this life that we've achieved, the impermanence of this opportunity that we have to live a life of great meaning. And we need to reflect on this so as not to continue to be under the illusion that we have a long expanse of time before ourselves. So we've looked at that in terms of the first clinging, and also as a bridge to the second, I need to reflect on the sufferings of the lower realms, giving rise to a wish to freedom from being born in the lower realms. And then that takes one into the second of the clingings, which is reflecting how all phenomena that are found within samsara are in their nature faulty. They are not worth desiring and clinging for. And this is where we got up to, which was the reflection on the faults of samsara itself. To come to understand the faults of samsara, there are various techniques to approach. And the one that the text is utilizing is to reflect on the three types of suffering. So these are the suffering of physical and mental pain, which is also called the suffering of suffering. The second is the suffering of change, which is also called the suffering of transient pleasure. And then the third, all-pervasive suffering. So we looked at the first last time, which is the suffering of physical and mental pain. So this is the easiest one to understand, in that it's all feelings of suffering that we experience. These are included within the suffering of physical and mental pain. So whether it's physical suffering such as illness or mental suffering such as worry or depression, these are all included within the suffering of the physical and mental suffering, the first of the three.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཁྱི Cina dini ki ngan tole dewa shi kuku ware. Dini ki dewa di ngan zuge yongaya la, ngan zuge nyamlin chi ne, nyamlin chi nchuku ma to daga su yongaya yomare, nyamlin chi nchuku ware. Cina nyamlin chi ba la kar kuku sin, dini ki dewa di to kudu sin bi duanyir shuk chenpo shi kuku ware. Dini ki dewa di to kudu sin bi duanyir shuk chenpo yongaya la kar kuku sin, ta kuru yi dunga di la ta kudu sin bi samlu di shuk chenpo shi ma le bai na, ta yi dewa di to kudu sin bi
ཁོ་བི་དུང་ཨ་དེ་ལ་ཐར་གོ་དུ་སེམ་བི་དེ་གྱན་ཐུང་གྱན་མ་ཐོང་བ་ཡིན་ན་དེ་ལ་ཐར་གྱི་སམ་པ་ཀི་གོ་མ་རེ་དེ་ལ་ཐར་གྱི་སམ་པ་མ་ཀི་ན་ཐར་པ་ཐོབ་གྱི་སམ་པ་ཀི་གོ་མ་རེ་ཐར་པ་ཐོབ་གྱི་སམ་པ་མ་ཀི་ན་ཐར་པ་ཐོབ་གྱི་སམ་པ་ཀི་གོ་མ་རེ་ཐར་པ་ཐོབ་གྱི་སམ་པ་མ་ཀི་ན་ཐར་པ་ཐོབ་གྱི་སམ་པ་ཀི་གོ་མ་རེ་ཐར་པ་ And last week, I also spoke about why we need to reflect on suffering, because on the surface, who wants to think about things that are unpleasant? If you, by definition, if you are reflecting on suffering, your mind is going in an unwanted direction. Well, the reason we need to reflect on suffering is because we need to come to understand what is meant by samsara, come to understand the nature of samsara. And we approach this from the perspective of the recognition that we all want to experience only happiness. None of us wants to experience any pain or difficulty or problems of any type. And the type of happiness that we have thus far experienced is unsatisfactory in that it is so temporary in nature. All the happiness that we've experienced, those experiences, have gone. Whereas what we desire is not temporary experiences of happiness, but a happiness that is lasting and stable, that is not punctuated by a moment of pain or misery. So what we desire is actually a state where suffering has been abandoned, a state freed from suffering, which would be a state of lasting happiness, a state of peace. And this is the state of nirvana, or liberation, liberation from suffering, liberation from samsara. So that's what we desire, that's what we long for. But in order to achieve it, we have to follow a definite sequence. So to understand that sequence, we need to understand that the way that this result of lasting, stable peace, a state freed from suffering, comes about is only through transforming our mind. It's not through transforming the external world, but only our inner world. So in order to be able to transform our mind and achieve a state of liberation, we need a strong aspiration, a strong desire to achieve this result, because of the great effort that is required to produce such a tremendous result. And in order to give rise to this aspiration, One needs a strong wish for liberation. One has to give rise to an overriding desire, burning desire within oneself to achieve a state that is freed from samsara. And in order to give rise to this wish for liberation from suffering, one has to recognize what suffering is. One has to recognize what suffering is. So this is a crucial starting point. So this is a sequence. To achieve liberation, one has to transform one's mind. To transform one's mind, one has to have a strong aspiration to do so, which means one needs a strong wish for liberation. To give rise to the wish for liberation from suffering, one has to know what is suffering. And the greater our understanding of suffering is, the stronger the wish for liberation from that suffering is. If one's understanding stays very coarse, very rough, then one's aspiration is going to remain weak. But if one has drilled down into the subtler levels, then one will come to a far greater understanding of the pervasive nature of suffering, and one will give rise to a mind-changing desire to be freed of samsara. So it's within this context that we looked first last week at the suffering of mental and physical pain, or physical and mental suffering, and now we come to the second of the three, that of the suffering of transient happiness. The sequence is something that we find in other avenues of our life. For example, if there's certain types of food that for you as an individual are actually harmful, but one doesn't know that, one will continue to eat it. So one may have an allergy towards it, or it may just be bad for your particular body type. But not knowing that, not having that knowledge, then one continues to eat this food and wondering why one's regularly ill. But if on the other hand, a respected researcher has looked into nutrition and has said for those who are in a particular condition, perhaps whether it's an allergy or they have a particular illness, they should avoid these types of food. And then if we hear that and we have some respect for the source, we are likely then to listen carefully and think about what they're saying. Read the research again and again and think, I wonder if this is correct for me. And then we may well try and say, okay, this is probably harmful for me. I will put it to one side. And if we thought about it a lot and we've gained conviction, actually, I should not eat this. Because it will lead to suffering. We will then readily avoid it. We'll ask questions in restaurants. We'll read contents packets, the contents labels on packets of food, all to make sure we don't suffer. So what has given what has happened there is one has come to recognize the source of suffering, and the source or the cause of suffering, and has recognized it with a sufficient conviction that one has the aspiration to be careful, to ensure that one doesn't make a mistake and cultivate the causes that lead to suffering. So it's through this process of gathering knowledge and then investigating, using one's intelligence to investigate, that one can come to a conclusion that leads to an aspiration, leads to a change in one's thinking, and a change in one's behavior. So that's how our experience that we would have in our own lives, and it's the same process here, the same process here in the Dharma.
Duk rubu ta dene ki chiye na odi duk re di yinu gire sinne di sagi ma ba di men pe ge ta nganzo ki chiki shakso yu khen khala di ki ni na ra dene chiki ta chu jangmo ri tunya ta ma ra dene ki rik mang bu yodwa su bu ne yinu jiso o shimbu du sinne nganzo ki dene ki kyun ro ju ma tong du o di shimbu du sinne nganzo beche mang bu ta sagi gorwa dene lupo lu le na zi mang bu li gorwa o di na shim duk ti kyun thong che di duk re sang ma re se de suyi na pu chu chu na sa sen di duk re na sang ma duk re sen sang ma ro a di na shin ha de dung ye dung a se de dung a na ze zha bu le di ma ze suyi na a di mo ho se di di gu min sen be de la tar de sam ba de ma su ge di na de tu go re lam sa ma ze ge na ze le de o de men ju che a de la men men ju che a men pe de a de ne chen ke ta shi ku me ba su ge lam sa ta shi che ta tu go re ta ma ze ge 균가를 통과 말씀은 유의 동화세에 대한 저기 연대 통도 거래. 균 통과 말. 대신에 저기 중앙마다 샤스 칼라 되어 신부도 사와 나신가 저기 유의 동화세에 대한 아주 뒤 연대 통화제. 아주 그 뒤 유의 동화다 차바 두지기 동안이 보디 아주 동화이 봐 하고 두고 말해. 지난 마도 완전 뒤 마와서 뒤 유의 동화 되게 연대 통화제네. 뒤 연대지 두고라. 뒤 라야게 된다 배제신 두고라. 지난 뒤에 일단 유의 동화세에 대 대화 땡기 대화 말해 뒤 동아리 규 동아리 스규에서 마 어디 셔야지 다른 가서 되는 마셔야 돼.
그 the position that many of you may well find yourselves in is that staying with the analogy of food, there are certain food types which are widely known to be unhealthy and one is encouraged to avoid, but they taste really nice. So we know I shouldn't have this, but it's sweet or it's fatty or whatever the taste is that we like, so we eat it and we enjoy it. And then we wonder why we have unwanted results. So this is something that we have experience of. And the mistakes that we make here is that if something is really dangerous to us, we get particularly ill or is even life-threatening, then of course even a small child will know that needs to be avoided, and we'll probably have we'll almost certainly have the discipline to avoid something like that. Because that is the suffering of suffering. And this is easy to understand, I don't want that. But where we're making a subtler mistake is where there is something that we should avoid. We know we should avoid it, we have the knowledge, but our conviction is weak. And due to the weak conviction, we indulge in what we enjoy, although the result that later follows is unwanted, is suffering. So what's happening here is we are taking, again with the analogy of delicious food that we should enjoy, avoid, that is that happiness that we experience when we eat it. We see this happiness as something that is to be desired, that we strive for. We see that happiness as something worth striving for. And that is a mistake, because that happiness is what is meant, that happiness that we experience when we, for example, eat food that we should not be eating, that is an illustration of the suffering of transient pleasure, or the suffering of change. And that is what is to be avoided. But we don't yet really know that that suffering, that happiness is transient. And moreover, that happiness deceives us and therefore is to be avoided, is to be abandoned. And therefore we continue to create, by indulging in it, we continue to create causes for future suffering. And again, this comes down to a lack of understanding of what is meant by suffering. In this case, this, the second type, the suffering of transient pleasure. And due to the lack of knowledge, we also have a lack of conviction that we need to avoid accumulating or engaging in the suffering of transient pleasure.
That's it, in Madhua. Yuru Dungala Samza Nas, Turi Ngandru Dhuwa Yus, Jajin Tamal Gyawa Yus, Nida Munbara Dhuwa Yus, Kolo Yuja Jendu Gyawa Yus.
Now we come to the 17th and 18th verse. Kolo Baduha. Okay. The 17th and 18th verse. Reflect on the suffering of change. From higher realms you can fall to the lower realms. The god Indra can be reborn as a mere earthling. Sun and moon can turn into darkness. The universal monarch can be reborn as a serpent.
The Yuri Dunga Samzana said, then the Yuri Dunga Samzana said, Nambo, then the Yuri Dunga said, the Ganichil Lagures and the Dangan to do Chene, Nambo Yuri Dunga, the Mosom Vaina, Nambo, the Nichil, Yuri Dunga Lagres, and I want the Yuri Dunga, the Nambo Mosom Vodua.
This first line here reflects on the suffering of change. So this is what we need to now first look at, what is meant by the suffering of change. Well, the translation I prefer is the suffering of transient pleasure. Suffering of change is literal, the meaning suffering of transient pleasure. So let's look then at what is meant by the second of the three types of suffering.
Benetic
To give a number of illustrations then to explain what is meant by the suffering of transient pleasure, just to make it very clear. So let's say one's laboring outside on a sweltering hot day. One's physically hot and exhausted, mentally quite bothered probably, and then when one's mind one's going to experience the feeling of suffering. So that experience there will be physical and mental suffering, and the suffering of suffering. So the first of the three levels. Then one takes a break. One goes inside. Goes inside. So one's in the shade, maybe sitting in front of a fan. Sits down in a chair. One's body rests. One's mind rests, and one's feeling now has a feeling arising. That's no longer the feeling of suffering, but it's the feeling of happiness. That feeling of happiness is the suffering of transient pleasure. Whereas before, when you were laboring outside, that feeling of suffering, that was the suffering of physical and mental pain. And then one continues with one's work and it's done for the day. So whilst one's been laboring outside, one's been experiencing many hardships. So one was experiencing suffering feelings, and that's then the first type, the suffering of suffering, or the suffering of mental and physical pain. Then one goes home for the day, sits down on a comfortable chair, and relaxes. Physically relaxes, mentally relaxes, and now a different feeling arises. It's a happy feeling. So that feeling of happiness, this is the suffering of transient pleasure. Then perhaps one enjoys something delicious to eat, a smile comes across one's face, that happy feeling, that too is the suffering of transient pleasure. Then one has a day off and goes out with one's friends, goes into a lovely garden, enjoying the delights of the garden. One's having a nice time with one's friends and with the delights of the garden. And in both of those cases, whether it's the pleasure that one takes in the garden or the pleasure that one takes with one's friends, the feeling that arises, not a suffering feeling, it's a feeling of happiness. And that feeling of happiness is the suffering of transient pleasure. So what is meant by the suffering of transient pleasure is the feeling of happiness, which in the world is happiness. This is worldly happiness. But from the perspective of someone who's wanting liberation from suffering, freedom from samsara, worldly happiness is suffering. Worldly happiness is the suffering of transient pleasure.
In
the context of the higher realms, so the gods of the three realms, such as the desire realm gods, they experience fabulous happiness, and all the happiness that they experience is this: the suffering of transient pleasure. So the three types we've looked at last time, the suffering of suffering, and we've seen now tonight how this transforms into, for example, if one's working outside and it's having a hard time, goes inside, relaxes, calms down, No longer is one experiencing the suffering of physical mental pain, but rather the suffering of transient pleasure or worldly happiness. So this is an important a level of suffering to reflect on, because worldly happiness is what we so desire and strive for. For example, if we see a new outfit and we think, oh, I would look fabulous in this, or I'm going to a particular occasion, I need something appropriate to wear, this will be great, and we buy it, and we're very pleased. There's very pleased, there's happiness. This is the suffering of transient pleasure. When we get a new job, and we're very excited, we've got a new job, and we tell all our friends, or in business, we get a big contract, and this is great for the success of our company, and we tell people, and we're really happy with this. This feeling of happiness is the suffering of transient pleasure. Whatever wealth we have, whatever resources we have, whatever material things that we desire and we purchase, and the joy we experience with these, or the influence we have, all these feelings of happiness, this worldly pleasure, is the suffering of transient happiness. Likewise, when things go our way, when we try and insist and have things go our way, when things work out how we want them to, this happiness that we feel, this is the suffering of transient pleasure. All this worldly happiness is the suffering of transient pleasure. So hopefully now you've understood, it's quite clear, at least on a rough level, what is meant by, or what the illustrations are of the suffering of transient pleasure, this worldly happiness. But why then is this called suffering? So when we experience this worldly happiness, we feel great joy. Especially if you think of illustrations in your own life when you've been really elated by something, either it's a great new job or whatever it may be that has caused you to become really elated. Through this desire for what we have achieved, we think there's nothing greater than this. What I've achieved is now something really fantastic. And then in the future, to achieve such things and better again, we strive for this. This becomes the focus of our mental energy and our physical energy, to achieve these kinds of outcomes, these kinds of results, because we believe that there is nothing better than this worldly happiness.
Chetan deji kibu lamsang sawa chingyuwa.
Happiness that we do this worldly happiness that is the suffering of transient pleasure. Whilst this is happiness, because this is the happiness that the only happiness that we've experienced, this happiness is slight and is swiftly followed by suffering. What we desire is actually not all this transient happiness that we have experienced. What we yearn for is lasting, stable happiness. Happiness that isn't followed by suffering, but happiness that is stable and lasts. So we have a lot of experience of experiencing the suffering of suffering and then it being followed by the suffering of transient pleasure. But if we then look very quickly, that becomes the suffering of suffering again, or that it's followed by the suffering of suffering. So to take some of the earlier examples, we're working hard and we're really hot, we go inside, we cool down, we're happy, but then we start to get a bit too cool. Now we're a little bit cold. And then we start to get some pressure, think, oh, I need to get back to work, and off we go again. So that little bit of peace quickly ended. Or if we work hard and we complete a project and feel great joy, that project is completed. And now I can relax and we've experienced happiness. But then very quickly, there's another project that one has to get on with, and then the mind is stressed and the body gets tired again. We're having a nice time with our friends, we're enjoying ourselves, but then after a while, we get a little bit bored, and now we start to look for something else. So the happiness is very quickly followed by unhappiness. Or relationships can change in a very severe way. If you're with someone, you have a close and intimate and warm, loving relationship with them, but that too changes, that happiness too changes. And the relationship degenerates, and maybe there's argument, and maybe separation. And of course this is very clear with in our material possessions. Think of some wonderful things, beautiful things that you bought and you have great joy. So experiencing this worldly happiness. But very soon you're looking for something better, or a replacement. So here, so we see here why this is called suffering. Because from this happiness, very quickly, the situation changes, and that slight happiness we experience and we delighted in so, is lost. And what we remain blinded to is that we can actually achieve something far better than this. We can achieve a happiness far greater than this.
Dewa kamchungi dungadi, dewadi, chidan yuwe dungare, tempu yo mara, yang dawa ma lamsang gyu rukura kanga irigire. Chidan de tamgi ngangzo, kama khashichi ngangzo, dewadi ngangzo, pengi mara es, ngangzo, di, ta ngangzo lakar gogo, tingi dewadi kukuri es. Chidan di dewadi liya, di, bai yuandan jaya tatwe na, tingi dewadi tarduge, zegi mara es, zegi mara. Chidan di zegi go na, hao goya go dunda la, tari ngangzo kamchungi dewadi liya,
The reflection here on the suffering of transient pleasure needs to lead us to the point where we see that worldly happiness does not exist in the way that it appears, in the sense that worldly happiness seems so desirable for us, seems to be a goal worth striving for. So if we think of particular desired situations, we put a lot of energy into striving for that because we believe that goal of that happiness is worthwhile. We see it as a happiness that is complete and even seems perfect, in that it is so desirable, we long for it so. We need to develop, use our wisdom, use our intelligence and reflect and come to see that that worldly happiness has flaws. In particular, it's not stable, it's not lasting. And its rapid changing just leads to a need for fulfillment, a lack of fulfillment within us. So we need to reflect deeply to see that transient happiness is, that's all it is. It's nothing worth striving for, nothing worth desiring, nothing worth our mind being overwhelmed to achieve. And then we need to use, again, using our intelligence, see that there is a state of happiness that we desire and can achieve. What we desire is stable, lasting happiness, happiness that is never punctuated by even a moment of suffering. And that state of unchanging happiness is liberation, because one is liberated from suffering. And therefore, the happiness that one experiences is stable, because there is no more suffering. The problem that we have is that we are particularly deceived by the desires within the three realms, thinking that this happiness that we have experienced and that we perceive is something worthy of striving for. We haven't yet thought firstly deeply enough about this happiness to see that it is unstable, unreliable, and not worth this great effort we put in for it. And secondly, we need to think about whether there is something better, and if so, how to achieve it. And to going through this reflection on the suffering of transient pleasure, seeing the faults of worldly happiness, and thereby giving rise to the wish to achieve stable happiness, lasting happiness, we'll come to see that the happiness that's found within the three realms is actually not desirable and is not worth striving for. So it's been mentioned a couple of times in these meditations, we need to use our intelligence, this fabulous human intelligence that we all have. And it's important here that we do so, because it's quite possible that we may come to a misunderstanding when we're reflecting on the suffering of transient pleasure. Because we all accept we don't want to suffer. This is easy to accept. And now we're hearing that worldly happiness is suffering. So then it's easy to think, well, if worldly happiness is suffering and I don't want to suffer, I shouldn't want worldly happiness either. Therefore, if I'm hot, I'm not turning on the fan. If I'm hot, I'm not going outside, I'm not going to go inside. If I'm not going to go and have a nice time with my friends or go for a walk in a park, because that feeling of happiness that arises, that is suffering. It's a suffering of transient pleasure. So it's quite possible one can go too far in one's analysis. So therefore we need to use our intelligence.
So on this point,
the texts say quite explicitly, or say clearly, that we need to use our intelligence to understand what worldly happiness is. And we need to do this so that we are no longer deceived by our afflictions that desire worldly happiness so. And we need to firstly understand that worldly happiness is transient, doesn't last. Very quickly it's exhausted and suffering follows. Desire for that the same again or better or other problems follow. This is though not how we relate to worldly happiness. Hence we desire it so. We desire to have things go away, to have new objects, etc. We desire things because we see this as an end in itself, this worldly happiness. That is a mistake. That is a great mistake. We need to understand that worldly happiness is transient. And secondly, we need to understand that there is something better than this. So we first understand that worldly happiness is not worth striving for, but there is something better that is worth striving for. So these are the conclusions that we need to come to. Why though this is such a difficult reflection to do is because we have so little familiarity with the minds that approach liberation. We've certainly never experienced lasting stable peace because we have never been liberated. And we have so little experience of that peace. But we have overwhelming experience of transient happiness. So we need to reflect and understand that worldly pleasures, whilst pleasurable, they are transient and not worth striving for. But there is something worth striving for. And as we reflect on these two points in finer detail, to subtler levels, we will strive more and more for lasting happiness. And as we do, our sense of inner peace will develop, and that as we experience these results, our striving for liberation will grow ever stronger. So the texts say clearly, we need to reflect on transient happiness in this way, understanding that it is deceptive and not worth striving for, but there is something that is worth striving for, liberation from suffering. But the worldly happiness, these we can use, we can utilize. So, for example, when we need to rest, we should rest. And if we're enjoying, we have happy feeling when we're resting, it's fine. But we should understand very clearly that that happiness that we are experiencing then whilst we're resting is in the nature of suffering. It is the suffering of transient happiness. And therefore, this is not the goal, happiness of this class. So we're resting now to re-energize so that we can continue later to strive for lasting, stable happiness. So this is how we utilize worldly happiness to recharge and then continue to strive for liberation.
Hopefully make this clear then through an analogy. If one needs to buy a car but doesn't have too much money, and so one's in the market looking at various cars, and one sees one that one can afford but it's not so good, you know, it will only last a few years and then it will be ready for the scrap heap. See another one which is far better, it will be of use for many years but it's beyond what we can afford. What to do? We need a car, the one that we really need and that we really want, we can't afford. The one that we can afford, well, it will do for now, but it's not ideal, it won't last for the long term. So we'll buy the car that we can afford and we'll use it as well we'll use it for the period that we can. And during that time, we will save and we'll try and get the causes together so later we can buy the car that we really need. So this is similar to the situation that we find ourselves in. We want happiness. There are two types of happiness. The happiness we really want is stable happiness, lasting happiness. The happiness that one experiences when one is liberated from suffering, liberated from samsara. But that we may want, but we can't just, through our wish, get it immediately. So we have to strive, we have to make tremendous efforts over a sustained period. And in order to therefore make the required effort to achieve this long-term goal, we need to be skillful and make use of temporary happiness, temporary good situations, and use these well. So for example, when one's training and practicing, and one needs to revitalize oneself, refresh and recharge, one should do so and enjoy happy experiences. But with intelligence, being aware that this happiness that we are experiencing right now is the happiness of transient pleasure, and be aware of the danger that we are in whilst experiencing this happiness, because at that time we are in danger of being deceived by our attachment. And attachment is very subtle, it's very sneaky, and can lead us to thinking that these happy experiences are what we need, and therefore what we should be striving for. And if we get deceived like this, liberation will not be possible. So we need to be skillful and use temporary happiness or worldly happiness, but with a mindfulness, aware that this is in its nature suffering, and we are in danger of potentially being deceived by attachment. And looking at the second line, from higher realms you can fall to the lower realms. So the higher realms then refers to the happy migrations, those of humans and gods, and the lower realms, the suffering realms of the hell's spirits and animal realms. So what's being taught here in this line is that rebirth in the higher realms as a human or god, a rebirth such as we've achieved, has been achieved because in the past we have accumulated the virtue that has led to such a good rebirth. And in this rebirth, as humans, we experience the happiness of humans, and those who are born as gods will experience the happiness of gods. But as each experience of happiness is enjoyed, it ends. It changes momentarily and it ends. And if at least causes of a similar strength are not accumulated throughout that life, then there is the very real prospect that when the life comes to an end, that being will fall into the lower realms. And this can come about very easily, that a life is wasted in pleasure and enjoyment, or seeking pleasure and enjoyment, when one is deceived by desire for worldly happiness. Desiring worldly happiness, one strives for that, enjoys it, but then it doesn't last and it's finished. Then one longs for it again, or longs for better, and puts one's energy into that. No thought about what will happen at the time of death and what may happen in the future realms. Because if we do fall into the lower realms in our next rebirth, our lives will be dominated by the suffering of physical and mental pain. We'll have no opportunity to develop ourselves spiritually, and it's very difficult to accumulate virtue in the lower realms. We need to be aware, though, that all the happiness that we're experiencing, this is the happiness that we experience, is, as we've heard, the suffering of transient pleasure. But we are experiencing this happiness due to the causes that we've accumulated in our past lives. So therefore this is a happy ripening result, a pleasurable ripening result that we have accumulated. But we mustn't be deceived by this happiness. Remind ourselves that our minds are pervaded by the afflictions, which means this positive ripening result that we are experiencing now, this pleasurable ripening result, was accumulated by afflicted minds, which means this karma that is now ripening is contaminated. Therefore, it will change and is not worthy of being attached to. It's not suitable to be attached to. It's not suitable to desire more like this. It's not suitable to wish that this worldly happiness will never end, because it will pass. And not only will these individual happy situations pass, but so too will this life and this opportunity. So this is how we need to approach our happy, our pleasurable experiences with wisdom, with intelligence. In third line, the god Indra can be reborn as a mere earthling. So Indra is a god who has particularly fabulous resources and environments and experiences so much happiness. But even such a being if we were to perceive him, we'd think, wow, what an amazing existence. We need to remind ourselves that even such people are experiencing what they are due to the virtue that they have accumulated in the past, but if they are not accumulating similar virtue again, their situation not only will it change, but it will worsen. So we remind ourselves of the impermanence of the samsaric pleasures, and we remind ourselves that these have come about in dependence on causes, and to experience similar causes again, to experience similar results again, sorry, similar causes have to be accumulated. And if one is being overwhelmed by worldly pleasures, one is not likely to be thinking about accumulating the causes so that one can achieve even these mere worldly pleasures. One is going to be enjoying oneself too much. And thereby, when that virtue is exhausted and the opportunity and the life comes to an end, it's very possible that that being will be born in the lower realms, or if in the same realm, in a far worse condition, such as a human being, but someone who's impoverished. So this is the danger that is likely to befall one if one remains deceived by worldly pleasure, seeing this as something as worthwhile and worthy of striving for, worthy of one's endeavors.
Dewa deva jang da pek deva de ma re es chi san de zam la be ma si da jian cha shu ji ya ma re so la
The points that are being emphasized here is whatever happiness that we perceive, that we've perceived, or that we can even imagine that is being perceived in the God realms, none of this worldly happiness is perfect or complete. None of this happiness lasts. Not only does it change moment by moment, but it is in the process of being exhausted. The only lasting happiness that can, the only way lasting, stable happiness that can be achieved is through suffering being eliminated. When suffering is completely eliminated, then there's no suffering to punctuate happiness, and then happiness is lasting and stable. But all other forms of happiness, this transient, worldly happiness, is not worthy of being, of desiring. It's not worthy of striving for, because it doesn't last, it's not stable, and moreover, it deceives one. It deceives one into thinking that this is something worthy of our energy and our time. So this reflection on the suffering of transient pleasure, we need to come to see that the happiness that is experienced by humans and gods is not stable. It's not worthy of being attached to, of desiring, of longing for. It's not worthy of putting our energy and effort into to achieving these worldly goals. Because whilst it is happiness that we all desire, this is actually not the happiness that we desire. We desire happiness that is not punctuated by a moment of pain or difficulty. And that happiness is the happiness of liberation, when one is liberated from suffering. So the first goal that one is, first objective of the reflection is to see that worldly happiness is actually the suffering of transient pleasure. The second objective of the meditation is to see that the happiness that we truly desire is the happiness of liberation, and thereby, on one hand, develop an aversion towards the desire for worldly happiness, and develop a longing for liberation. And once one gives rise to a longing for liberation, one will seek out how to achieve liberation, put effort into that, not effort into achieving worldly goals, but achieving liberation. So liberation is the state of having abandoned the afflicted minds together with their seeds, so having abandoned the afflictions completely together with their seeds. How does one achieve that? In brief, one needs to accumulate a lot of virtue, a lot of merit. So through these meditations, we need to be satisfied with what we have, not desiring always more and newer, and rather put our effort into achieving virtue, accumulating merit, striving for liberation.
And Kama khasish mada mese namsan de dunga yiyan chi chile dunga shli yun. Chetan de dewa de tembu gine mindu us. Chetan de ne yinsan, maza kabre le dewa tues le dunga le, yang chike dewa tues dunga. Pe ko chik, karbo ure, chasan de tere tangzi le rikan shikir mada tengi dewa toya de mindu. Chetan de dewa, tengi dewa yang taba se sao yin re mindu us. Chetan de ne yinsan, de ne ki dewa de, dewa de tar che. Denigi yun resha, jisa denigi mea baje, denigi dunga de lea shencha, de lea shencha cheche, jik duene de jik minu osempe, ta ngana tu diru wata, de lea shencha, misi korong cha chue fu, ta ngana tu chue chike samta kaara, chue samma ta, misi korong, denigi tona ya, jik denigi digi dugiya donda, ngana tu ki penjo jaya ta, penjo duru jaya, kuma jaya, jafan shaya, miso ya, jik maa jaya, cha sa, di donda ro wata. Dini Dilea, Dumara Risha, Saint Pigida, Guidumuni Risha, Samje, Palo Tesi to Nisha, and Jamba de Shishin, Tinje, and Dingitin, to Shi Samtai, Taedita, Mazuki, Jevaje, Gasore, Jacum, Sia, Jocum, Niga Charogore, Sisan Dininza, that did want the Tauku, Tangi, Dingi, there was it, Topu, that Dingi, there was a Tarba said yours, Dimaton, the Jiminu, Saint Piggy, indeed, Dunyer here.
Summarize then what we've looked at this evening. So as with previous meditations, one engages in this meditation with a first analytical meditation and then following that with placement meditation. So one is reflecting here that the overall topic is the sufferings of samsara, and one reflects on the three types of suffering. So first, the suffering of mental and physical pain. And here we can take from our own experiences, whether it's physical suffering such as illness and hunger, as well as mental suffering such as anger or depression, etc. And we can also, once we've looked at this from our own perspective, we can see what we observe in the world and see the suffering that beings are experiencing. And then we give rise very easily to a strong wish to be freed of the suffering of suffering. And then we move to the second type, and this is the important one because this is the one that we're not so familiar with, the suffering of transient pleasure.
And here we reflect that whilst the suffering of suffering is the suffering feeling, the suffering of transient pleasure is the happy feeling, the pleasurable feeling. So now we reflect that every pleasurable experience that we've had has shown itself to be impermanent. Everything that we experienced that was pleasurable has ended. And we need to remind ourselves of this so that when we do experience pleasurable or desirable experiences again, that we're not disappointed when they end, because that's in their nature. They will end. And then we need to remind ourselves that because they are transient, this is not the happiness that we desire. Because being transient, we're left with a longing for that happiness again, for that pleasurable feeling again. And then we put our energy into striving to achieve it again. And we remain lost in worldly pleasures, desiring worldly pleasures. Rather, in our reflection, we need to come to see this cycle that we have remained trapped in, where we desire happiness, we experience it and we're pleased, and then it ends and we long for it, and long for what we had, and we desire to have it again, and we make effort, and then we experience more problems and difficulties to achieve that happiness, and then again it's lost, it's finished. And then we need to make more efforts again, more problems. We need to think about this in some detail so we can get a feeling, so that a feeling of exhaustion for this process can arise within us. See ourselves as caught in a cycle, desiring to be freed of this, desiring to experience lasting happiness. Because in the previous meditations we reflected on the preciousness of this opportunity and the great meaning that can be achieved in this life. We will have given rise to a wish to live a meaningful life. And here we are adding more color to our understanding of what a meaningful life is. And a life of meaning isn't a life that is spent striving to achieve transient happiness, but it's a life that is spent striving to accumulate the causes that will lead to lasting happiness, a happiness that is freed from suffering. So meaningful life is a life that is not spent deceived by worldly pleasures, but it's a life where one uses one's wisdom to strive for something of true value. So this is an analytical meditation up to this point. Then when we come to the conclusion that where we have an understanding arising within us of the suffering nature of transient pleasure, then we rest with that feeling. We abide with it. And this is the second type of meditation, placement meditation. So here we're resting in the meditation, we're concentrating. We're doing this to familiarize ourselves with the experience of the outcome of the meditation. And as we do these two steps more and more, the analytical followed by the placement, our familiarity grows ever stronger. And we come to the conclusion of the meditation ever more quickly, and that conclusion is ever more profound. And thereafter, so we've done analytical and then placement. And then when the placement comes to an end, we give rise to the aspiration to strive for liberation, the state freed of suffering. And to achieve that, we need to accumulate virtue. So here we commit, we look at the day ahead and we commit that whenever I have the opportunity to help others, I will do so. Whether it's with my way of communicating or physically where they need help, I will be there for them. And I will engage in, for example, practices of making offerings, such as offering incense. And I will do whatever I can to accumulate virtue today. In particular, this conclusion of the meditation I'll keep in mind. And this way, we strengthen our familiarity with the meditation, and our mind becomes joyous, because we're seeing the great goal of liberation as being something that we are actually striving for. And with this mind of joy, we commit to persevering, to striving, to achieve liberation and accumulate the causes throughout the day. And this mind of joyous perseverance then gives us ever greater courage to apply ourselves and to this meditation and to act under its influence. And then lastly, we conclude the meditation by making supplication prayers to our teachers and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Supplication prayers that the realizations grow ever stronger within us, and that we utilize these to have an ever greater beneficial impact on the lives of others too. And this then is a complete meditation on what we've looked at this evening. So we'll conclude here for tonight, and we'll continue from here tomorrow. But if you have some questions, then feel free to ask. Okay. Are we there at the back? Yeah.
The diagnosis that if we can avoid clinging to earthly pleasures, I can see how that can avoid suffering. But isn't it asking too much? Is it a realistic thing to ask humans? By analogy, it's like asking a tiger to avoid eating meat. They cannot do it because it's nature.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not human nature to cling to earthly pleasures and there's nothing you can do about it?
Yeah. Okay. So, in brief, is liberation possible? Because is it not human nature to cling to worldly pleasures? Just like, because to say to give up worldly pleasures is like saying to a tiger, become a vegan. Yeah. Yeah. No. Good. Then he dodu labna tapa top sikidebe. Karin then he dodu le. Karin sa nato do you think they were there? Shengi yore. Then you think that's all Ransinki Jawere. That's all Ransin. Do you think that Zingi yore? Shengi yore.
Tabat of Sigri, Nazuki, Chizan, Jitinki, Ransinki, Nazu Tigiri, Nazu di Bejer, Tangurwa. In a Nazuki. Dele Yagaji Tarba Dehaj Duis Pa Zebaina, Zene, Delia Dunyeshi, Sosubisu Chebaina, and Delia Samroti and Denigi, Dingi Dewadilla, Yane, Yado Yane, and Samba, Gimsen Samta, Miching the Mangu Tue, Gimsen Samta, Shinju Cheche, Muinisu to be Shinju Che, Doctor Che, Dene, Yabaji, how go on to, oh, that you want around. Topo的人还是拉布这边对你什么都熟悉的话嘞，什么都熟悉的，个这那边呢，你特别个他们的，得来别墅熟悉的话，他们得来别墅来钱呢，别墅，他们得来别墅钱呢，他妈都要要买嘞，这那今年咱们这两个家里呢，大伯的话，这两伯好过嘛，这老将这些现在在来年，地里个的也个有嘞，现在几个月都，恁地，然后个。
Liberation is certainly possible, but just hearing the idea of liberation is insufficient to achieve it. The only way that one can achieve liberation is to go through an entire sequence of trainings, starting at the beginning and progressively moving through them to achieve the final goal. And this is something that's not done quickly. It requires repeated effort over a sustained period. So I mentioned these two types of meditation, analytical and placement. So analytical meditation is of particular importance, of crucial importance, because this is the mind of investigation or analysis, where you take some knowledge and then you investigate, is this true or not? Is this how things, is what has been presented here correct or not? And through investigating and analyzing over a period of time, one will come to a clear answer. And we can do this because of this amazing, this unique human intelligence that we have. This enables us to completely transform our way of thinking. And this is not something that's shared across all the realms of beings. And we have experience of this process, but in different parts of our life. So if we think of how we have experience of this process in different parts of our lives, we can then understand how it is possible to utilize the process here. So all of us have achieved many things in our lives. Those things we've achieved didn't just happen. We had to develop skills, and the developing of the skills meant going through a process, and we had to train over repeatedly over a sustained period, starting at one point, and as we grew in skill, we could be trained to add more qualities, and eventually became proficient in something. And that's exactly the same here. So with a new concept, it sounds very far removed from what we've experienced. Well, it is. But you see whether it's realistic for us. This takes analysis. Analysis of repeatedly over a sustained period. And then change will come. Without going through that process, it won't be possible. Just like what one has achieved in this life. These skills that we have, we would never have achieved without going through that exact same process. So there you go.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Is one more at the back?
I want to know whether my understanding is correct with respect to the suffering of transient pleasure. Would you say that it arises always when it's kind of like the release of suffering? Or is there another dimension to it that I'm not seeing?
Okay. So is the suffering of transient pleasure the release of suffering, or the absence of suffering, because one's experiencing happiness?
Yeah, so you've experienced the suffering, and then it ends, and it almost exists by contrast,
yes.
Relative to suffering.
Yes.
So is there another dimension of it that can be kind of absolute, you know what I mean?
Okay, so it's like you are experiencing the happiness of being in the cool, because you've ended the suffering of being in the hot.
Yeah, or is there some sort of absolute dimension
So it is the absence of suffering, but it's not only the absence of suffering. So the way to understand it is that it is worldly happiness. So what you experience as happiness, this is happiness, but it's worldly happiness, and it's this transient happiness. And so it's transient because it's changing. It's not stable, so it's changing, so it's transient. But it is happiness. So hence the suffering of transient pleasure, so happiness, pleasure. So it is pleasure, but it's transient. It's not what we expect it to be, desire it to be, which is stable. So understand it in that way. It is the absence of suffering, because we don't have suffering being experienced. That may have preceded it, and it will follow it. But it specifically refers to happiness or pleasure that is impermanent, that's changing. Hence the more usual translation of the suffering of change. So that's the literal translation. It's this element of changing. But it's happiness that will change. It's not stable. Okay?
Okay.
Yes?
I have a question. So a happiness that I feel in my garden every day, that isn't transient happiness.
Okay, so is the happiness I experience in the garden, is that transient happiness or not? Yeah. tene na meto tum da da kipo yong du de kiwe tu da re ba
de ye da chik me tum na da de chi bla la yo ro kyun ni wo de ne ga sam ji ya ka le ba de che te le chi de de tu ha si yo ro de as di ne ga de wa di ka la na de wa di chi dang na chi di me de wa le ine ya ko tim bu yo ma ju ho lam sa ju che de che le ya tu ha si le si bu ro wa
So yes it is, because the change, the transient nature, is that it changes moment by moment. So whilst you experience happiness today, and you did yesterday, and you probably will tomorrow in the garden, these are new experiences of transient happiness. Because whilst yesterday and today and tomorrow the place is the same, when you leave your garden, then that happiness is lost, so it's changed already. Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you.